Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands to Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. You're all that we want, Father. You're all that we desire. You're all that we want. You are all that we desire today. And Father, we know that it's your desire for us to have you. It's your heart for us to experience you. And we pray the prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians, that we might know what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of your love, which we know is who you are. Take us from one degree of glory to the next as we put our eyes and our attention on you. We love you. And we give ourselves to you this morning. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, and the surpassing greatness of your power toward us who believe. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is a true honor to be here with each of you this morning. And I want to just thank Pastor Mack and Pastor Lynn Hammond for the invitation. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise for this amazing, amazing couple and dear, dear friends. You know, it's almost kind of surreal, me standing here today. I thought about this morning. I believe it was the Lord that put it on my heart. But I remember, gosh, this had to be, 2004, 2005. Let's say between 2004 and 2008. Amen. I was sitting at my house, and on the TV, my mom would always play God TV on the television. And I remember looking one day, and they had a prayer seminar on there. And it was Pastor Lynn's prayer seminar. And I'll never forget it. Dr. Billy Brim was there, and Vicki Jameson was there. And I still remember to this day, Vicki getting up and singing the song of the Lord, and then them praying about it. And then, you know, if you ever saw them going back and forth, it was hilarious, but beautiful at the same time. And never in a million years did I think God would allow me to be on this same platform that actually took place on, I believe. And so it's so God to know what he can do with your yes. It's so beautiful to know what God can do with just a simple yes. And some of the things that we might even take for granted, like watching something on TV or having an experience or an encounter, you know, that just seems normal. And then God taking that and amplifying it, which is beautiful. So I give God praise for that. Amen. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank God for Papa Lath. Amen. He's a dear dad in my life. And Heidi, of course, she is my spiritual mom, and get to travel the world with both of them often. Many times people ask, they say, are you an intern with them? So many people ask that, and I said, oh, no, I'm not. Actually, I'm just a son. And I'm a son who serves. They don't ask me to serve them, but I do it because Jesus said the greatest among you is him who serves. And so you never get to a place where you graduate out of serving. Come on, that's helping somebody this morning. I said, you never get to a place where you graduate from serving. And, you know, God's blessed me. I've been able to minister to thousands upon thousands and even bigger crowds than this. But one thing I will never do is substitute that or sacrifice that for an opportunity outside of serving men and women of God who he's brought me to. And so I'm thankful to God. I'm just so grateful to God for Heidi and for Leif and Mama Jen in her absence. Amen. Praise God. So today I have just a couple of things in my heart I believe God wants to release. Amen. And I'm excited about that. You know, this is a prayer and presence conference, which is beautiful. And I'm going back and forth. Like, do I jump into the message or do we pray for a little bit? I think we'll pray for a little bit just first, because something hit my heart when they were doing worship, and which was so beautiful today. And I wish I knew the young lady's name, but she started saying that God's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing. She began to prophesy that and declare that through the song of the Lord. And then the young lady beside her, she began to say, in every nation, in every nation, God is doing a new thing. In every nation, God is doing a new thing. And as she said that, the Spirit of the Lord hit me, and I heard in my heart, a nation. And I began to pray about that. And I said, oh, Lord, right now, how many of you know when God does stuff like that when you don't expect it? But I said, Lord, right now. He said, yes, right now. So this intercession began to hit me, that doors would begin to open and that things would begin to change and environments would begin to change concerning a specific nation that was in my heart. And I surely people would look at that nation and say, God's not doing anything right now. But in reality, God is doing something. God's doing more than what we realize, because there are people that are in nations that are praying and believing God and declaring what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So I honestly believe that as they were echoing that, at the same time, there probably was someone in that nation that was declaring, no, God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing inside of my nation. And what looks impossible to man is not impossible with God. And God's able to go beyond barriers. The word, not just prayer, but the word even shows us that he can go beyond the barrier of kings and leaders. Now, you do that in chair number one. Hallelujah. How many of you are thankful to God for that message? How many of us stayed in chair number one last night? I ain't gonna ask for a show of hands of how many people got into chair number two by this morning. Especially if you haven't had coffee yet and somebody just happened to, you know, cut you off or something. There's abundance of grace. Just always remember that. You can just get right back in chair number one. Amen. Just don't go to chair number three. Hallelujah. But I'd like for us, if it's okay, just to stand to our feet. And we're just gonna pray for just a few minutes. I believe nations are on the heart of God. And I can hear the heart of the Father. And I don't just hear right now the heart of the Father, but I actually can hear the cry of the people. I can hear the cry of the people crying out for God, crying out for God to do something in their nation, crying out for God to do something in their people group, crying out for God to do something. And so, Lord, we partner with you right now in the name of Jesus concerning the liberation of nations, the liberation of nations, tribes, and tongues, and to both say to la varukupa astenda and the roste mekina makale bistotora, O rabashandai, O koramasita, And parosu palanjanai. This is very important right now. Akoroposita. There's cities and nations that'll start coming up in your spirit. And as he shows you what they are, give utterance to that. Give utterance to that. Ankondurubuste. Antolobokofaradashai. And Lord, I ask that you make those nations plain. Whoa, that you make those nations plain. Abasuko, to the people that are represented here so that they can clearly see and know who is their assignment this morning. Akotore. Antonomokododobashe. Antodobosa. Mantodobosipa. Oh, yes, Sokopa. Open that door, Father. Open, open, open that door into that nation. Akondobosia. I command that door to China to be open. I command it right now in the name of Jesus to be open, that there be no more resistance there. No more, no more resistance there. Akotobuste. Antobusabashtehe. Antolubusta. Rustabikitoroboste. And to rusta mandunka na manjo mintorovuste and to ruba and to rupestia es a superlandistoko ankudubudieste and to rubu. You're moving in there, God. You're moving in there right now. You're moving manifestations asukuburista in the mosondilibika and the people who are persecuted and to lubusta nubantu. Oh yes, oh yes, Susupa. You're changing it. You're changing it in the natural. Antolobusta. First let it begin in the supernatural. And then let it affect the natural realm. Ankondobusa. Ankonomosinda. Oh yes, Sosokotobaha. Come on, just a couple more minutes here. Antolobura Vashaya. Oh, yeah, Makombakaya. You're taking the key and you're unlocking nations. You're taking the key. You are the key, God. You are the key. And you're unlocking the nations. You're unlocking the nations. You're unlocking the nations. You're unlocking the nations. You're unlocking. You're unlocking a Buddha Bikatashto. And the Rubanduli Bishtorobakai. Mikoru Sambakaya. Oh, Bakambo do Sapane. Oh, Kobabasia Pashoto. Ashaboko Pasaya. Oh, Kamando Sapandiastai. And with every open door, I ask for an outburst of miracles. I ask for a release of the supernatural. I ask for tangible manifestations of God in every nation, tribe, and tongue. That people won't just see God, but they'll feel him. They'll encounter him. They'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is alive and that Jesus is King. They'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are alive. And that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King. Abostokobashea. Mantoro Bosekeba. Mapoto Basia Talabakaya. Oponda Basia. Okopataniasa. Andodobosaya. And Sabokoporoboshaya. And seated in this place. Seated in this chair, Antoroboshaya, we use our authority, Akotoroboshaya, to close doors concerning darkness, Obosta, concerning Abosikipaha, Satan, you barashtupadakaya, and Obosaka, every roadblock be unblocked right now, in the name of Jesus, Sokopataya, Akotoroboshaya, I command every door, Atodobusia, that's influenced by darkness to be closed over the nations of Okotada, even that which looks impossible. I thank you, Father, that you're closing the door to Bostia, to darkness of Okoteliashia. And we plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over every prayer, over every door, over every nation, tribe, and tongue, that they would see and experience encounters, tangible encounters with you, We give you praise and glory and honor for that today. In Jesus' name, let us carry these nations in our hearts until we see it come to pass. Thank you, Lord. Now just lift up your hand and thank Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Isn't it fun when you can partner with heaven? Not just to pray, but to do the impossible. God wants to use each and every person in this room to do something that's beyond the natural, so that people can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is alive, that God is real, and that he is a tangible, living, loving Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, well, actually a couple weeks ago, I've actually been praying about this meeting for a while, and I've been just stewarding some things in my heart that I believe the Lord wants to release today. And a couple weeks ago, I was in the shower, and I don't know why. God loves to speak to me when I'm in the bathroom. I don't know if anybody else can bear witness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But maybe it's because it's quiet and there's no one else in there. But I was in the shower, and he began to show me a picture of what he wanted to do. And I didn't want to do it, if I'm being honest. Anybody ever been there before where God tells you, do this, and you're like, no. I take that scripture that says, come, let us reason together, literally. I've had to reason with God many, 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 many times. This is a bad testimony, okay? So don't do what I do, okay? I always say, obey the first time. Don't do what I do. Evidently, there's a grace for me to argue with God, because I tell him no. I have told him no many times. One time I was in a service, and he said, I want you to do this. I said, oh, no, I'm not doing that. And he said, well, do it this way. I'm really not doing that. Then he said, well, do it this. Okay, I can do that. That's a lot easier. Because how many of you know, sometimes when God tells you to do something, we're afraid to do it because it puts us in front. But in reality, God wants to use you to put him in front. And he has to use people to do it. I said, God has to use people to do it. God affects change in environment, in nations, in areas of influence in society through people. And so saying yes to Jesus puts us in a place where not only we can encounter the presence of the Lord, but others can encounter him. Amen. And so let's actually start at John 17. John chapter 17. And you might be wondering what he showed me that I said no to. But I'll read this scripture and then we'll get into it. Amen. John chapter 17, verse 1 through 3, and I'm reading in the New King James translation. It says, Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. That's beautiful. And this is eternal life. I want you to underline that. Circle it. Really circle that whole verse if you can. Because eternal life and salvation is summed up in this one verse. Jesus is defining it. And you can't argue with Jesus, right? I love what Jesse DePlanis said, that you can't argue when it's red words written in red. This is eternal life. What is that? That you may know, excuse me, that they may know you, the only true God. And Jesus, whom you have sent. Now, in the Passion Translation, it says this: eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God and Jesus as the Son whom you have sent. To know and experience. Notice it doesn't just say to know. It says to know and experience. Come on, some of y'all needed maybe one more cup of coffee this morning. Hallelujah. I'm from Baltimore, so I like people to, you know, we're a little more rowdy. Yeah, there we go. All right, maybe you did have two cups of coffee. Amen. I need at least three or four to fully wake up. So I had three, so I'm doing pretty good this morning. To know and experience. And when I was praying about what to share this morning, weeks ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to talk about the prayer and presence of encounter. The prayer and presence of encounter. And if we read this scripture really for what Jesus is saying here, he said salvation is wrapped up, the definition of salvation is wrapped up in this: not just knowing God, but experiencing God. And oft, I find a lot, if you travel a lot of the church seems to be corporately knows God. They know about God. They can tell you scripture and verse, verse in scripture, and about 10 million different interpretations of it. But oftentimes you find very few people who know and experience God. I'll never forget, years ago I was on a plane. I think I was flying to Mozambique, actually, the first time I went. And Heidi had invited me to come, and I was on my way in the plane, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to look out the window. So I did. I was flying over somewhere, maybe the Atlantic Ocean. And when I looked out the window, I saw a vision. And I saw people on a street. It looked like New York City. And they were walking down the street with their eyes down. And then they began to look around. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, do you know what they're looking for? No. He said, they're looking for me. I said, I believe that, Lord. Then he spoke something to me that really shocked me. He said, Joseph, I am not a healing line. He said, Joseph, I am more than a prophetic word. Ooh, some of y'all ain't getting it this morning, but that's okay. If it, you know, if you get convicted, just don't say ouch. Say yes. Y'all know how it is when God starts really moving. They say that's when people start getting a little quiet. Just don't, yeah. Just say yes. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, this is what I saw. The Lord showed me that as I preach today, and I've seen this happen many times, but as I preach today, some of you will actually feel tangible presence on your body. And if you do, you feel the presence of the Lord. I just want you to wave your hands, and we're just going to bless that in Jesus' name. Amen. Because I believe God's going to cultivate that. Some of you are feeling it right now in your hands. I am right now. But as that happens, just wave your hand, and we're going to bless that. And then God's going to bring that to fruition towards the end. Amen. Hallelujah. I bless that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. It pays to obey. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But I'll never forget when he told me that. He said, Joseph, I am not a healing line. I'm more than a prophetic word. He said, I am first and foremost a father who loves his children. And he said, a lot of the church has come to define me as these things that I do. But most of the church does not know me for who I actually am. That I am first and foremost a father who loves his children. And the last time I checked, the Bible says that God does not change. God has not changed his mind concerning you or concerning the people that are in this world. He told me last year, he said, Joseph, John 3:16 is still in my heart. God still loves the world. And some of you might have heard me share this, but God told me that, and he said, Joseph, I still love the world, but a lot of the church does not. I even saw, bless this person's heart, someone I highly respect in ministry. And they, you know, they're more on the political side right now, but bless them, Jesus. Hallelujah. They might need to hear Papa Lay's message about getting back in the chair one. Thank you, Jesus. But I saw them post this before I came here, and they said, and use the scripture that we are not to be friends with the world. And they said, it's time for us to stop being friends with the world. I said, oh, Lord. May we never forget John 3:16. That you still love the world. And sometimes we misinterpret scripture thinking that scripture literally means don't be involved with the world system. Don't go back to something that God has liberated you from. You've become dead to it. The Bible says that in Ephesians, right? We've become dead to sin. We've become dead to that world system. You don't go to a graveyard hoping to resurrect something that's dead. Unless God told you, that's another story. But you don't just on purpose go and try to resurrect something that has died. And when I saw that post, it grieved my heart, and I prayed in chair one, thank you, Jesus, Lord, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know that the reason why they exist here in this earth is for the purpose of the world to know you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After I read that, or the Lord spoke that to me last year, he told me, he said, what's the church's report card? What's the world's report card for the church? What's the world think of the church right now? If we're supposed to be affecting them, what do they see on a constant and consistent basis from the church? Do they see God still loves the world? Doesn't mean that you tolerate sin. It just means that you stay in the position that God stays in, which is to love no matter what. And it's through that loving kindness, the Bible says that it draws men and it leads men to repentance. The world you ain't going to tell the world something they don't already know. How about telling them something they don't know, which is God and his love? Hallelujah. I can tell it might be affecting some of y'all, but that's okay. I love you. And I hope you love me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But one of the things that God began to show me as I was praying into this encounter, this vision that I had had when I was on the plane in Mozambique, was the importance of him wanting to use the body of Christ to manifest himself into the earth. The Bible says that there will come a time where the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And I used to think that, you know, it's not just going to be this way. I believe it will be, that the presence of the Lord will come and the glory cloud's going to come down and rise up and all of those things. It's going to happen, but really how it's going to happen is through his church, through his body. God wants to use you today. God wants to use you to change the world and to release and manifest his glory into the earth. And I'll never forget when the Lord began to just show me that, it just put a desire in my heart for him. We're going to get into that here in a minute. It put a desire in my heart for him. He even told me shortly after that encounter, I was driving back to my house, and while I was driving randomly, he said, Joseph, do you know what it's like to be invisible? No. He said, do you know what it's like to be invisible? No, sir, I don't. He said, Can you imagine being the most real being there ever was, is, and will be, and having children who can't see you, who can't feel you, having a heart of love? He said, can you imagine being a father, having a child whom you can't touch, who can't see you, and you know that you are more real than anything else, and you have a desire for that child to touch you, or to not only touch you, but have you touch that child and release your love over that person. He said, that's what it feels like to be invisible. And it put a desire in my heart, God, I don't want you to be invisible anymore. If the only Jesus that people will ever see is the Jesus inside of me, I want people to constantly see and behold Christ in me, the hope of glory. When's the last time someone walked up to you and said, you look and sound just like God? When's the last time someone walked up to you and they said, you look and sound just like Jesus, outside of someone laying hands on you, outside of the prophetic, whoo, come on, outside of just the normal things that we call normal, where we're manifesting and exuding God inside of us. And that people are drawn to Christ in us, the hope of glory. I believe that God is wanting people to encounter Christ in us. And we're going to find out here how we do that. The first point that the Lord put on my heart to make is our relationship with God is defined by encountering him. We just read that in that scripture, right? Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God. To know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, the word encounter means this: to come upon or experience unexpectedly, especially unexpectedly. That's what Merriam-Webster defines it as. But I love this other definition that they gave: to come upon face to face. To come upon face to face. That's what it means to encounter. And we're talking about that today, the presence and the prayer of encounter. How do we encounter God? We don't just encounter him through one way. The Bible says that it's through the Word and the Spirit. The Bible says that the Word and the Spirit, they what? Agree. And so we encounter the presence of the Lord by both. Come on, somebody say both. Not just the Word, not just the Spirit, but both. I love what Leif says. I heard him say this. Actually, I told him last night on my Facebook memories, it came up 6 years ago yesterday was the first time that I met him. It was the first time I had ever heard him speak. 6 years ago, last night, and I said, this must be prophetic because I'm sitting here listening to him tonight, 6 years later. Literally, I think he even preached on the three chairs, which is hilarious. So maybe God's doing something prophetic in that, in me. I thought that was just beautiful. But I heard him say this years ago. He said, too much word, you're dry. Too much spirit, you're a little kooky. And thank you, Jesus, I know both sides. Where there's so much word. Because I grew up that way. Word. And that's not to say you're not supposed to not live by it. The Bible says that. Live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But along with that word comes the encounter of the Spirit of God. And we see that here in Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2 real quick. Y'all enjoying this morning? Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. I feel God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, verse 1, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues or cloven tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now notice it says on the day of Pentecost, they had fully come. They were all together and in one accord. Amen. The church is really good right now about gathering. Hallelujah. The Bible says we should do that as we see the day of the Lord approaching, right? We're really good at gathering. And then suddenly there came, you know, the manifestation of the presence of God. Now, when I was reading this, the Lord began to speak to me. Actually, I was in Colorado at Papa Leif's meeting 2 weeks ago when he spoke this to me. And he said, Joseph, why did the Holy Spirit come? I said, because they were all together in one place. They were all together in one place, and they were in one accord. They had come together, they assembled, and the presence of the Lord came. He said, Joseph, why did the Holy Spirit come? Anybody ever had God ask some questions that he already knows the answers to? You're like, well, surely you know, God. You're asking the question. But I didn't understand at that point. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, Joseph, he came because I said to Jesus in Acts chapter 1, the disciples obeyed the instructions of the Lord. And he said, go into Jerusalem. Go and wait there until you be endowed with power from on high. He said he came because I said it. He came because I said it, not because they came together and started praying and wanting the glory to come and manifest. No, it came because I first said it. That's the working of the Word and the Spirit. And the Lord showed me this earlier when we were in worship. He said, I came, the power of the presence came, and they didn't know what was about to manifest. Woo! They didn't come with an expectation that fire was going to fall. They didn't come with an expectation that, oh, I'm coming because I know I'm going to get healed today. No, they came simply because of an instruction from Jesus. And oftentimes, again, the church is really good about gathering together, but we're gathering together wanting to produce something that only God can produce. When God says it, that's when it manifests. It's not going to manifest just because we want it to. No, first find out, God, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do in this service? What do you want to do in my life? Because when I find out what that is, guess what? He's faithful to bring that to pass in my life. They obeyed because they wanted Jesus. They didn't know what was going to happen. That was foreign to them. All they heard was go, wait, because you're going to be filled with some power. It wasn't that they hadn't seen the power of God before. I mean, that's all they saw with Jesus, those 3.5 years of ministry. But because they loved him, they obeyed him. I said, because they loved him, they obeyed him. They obeyed his word. And sometimes we need to, as believers, again, we need to not just rest on the word of God, but find out in the word of God what God is actually saying to us right now. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith comes, it does. As we read the word of God, it is our source of faith. I always say this, that the Bible, you have to know what the Bible says in order to know what God is saying. This is your judging tool. This is how you know when it's actually God and when it's not. So they came together out of obedience to the word of God. And as a result of that obedience, guess what? Power came. God came. They didn't seek fire. They sought God. And as a result of seeking God, the fire came. My encouragement in us to us today is, let's not just seek what the encounter will produce. Let's seek the one that wants to give the encounter. Because when we seek him, you're going to have an encounter. I'm telling you, you're going to have it every single time. Every single time. I remember waking up when I was younger, hearing of stories of people encountering God. And I'm like, God, I want to encounter you that way. I want to live in a relationship with you where I talk to you and you talk back to me. And I actually hear you. And I remember declaring the word. I remember speaking the word and declaring this scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And I'm reading it in the Passion Translation. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you, and I would say this, that he would unveil within me the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods my innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using my faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of me, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of my life. Then, I will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all of its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and all-inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measure that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. I would pray that prayer. I remember waking up and going to work, working a 9-to-5 job, and I would get there a little bit early so that I could open up my Bible and I would pray this prayer and keep praying, God, I want to encounter you this way. What was I doing? I was building my faith for what something that he already promised and what he said in his word. That this actually is the prayer of encounter. You can pray this prayer. Ephesians, I believe, is the book to the church. So that means it's an invitation. You can pray this invitation out loud and ask, Lord, I want to be filled. I want to encounter you. I want to encounter you the way that Paul says here. Because I know that when I do, you put me in a position to receive the fullness of who you actually are. This is the prayer of encounter. And this type of praying will always produce the presence of God. This type of praying will produce the presence of encounter. Prayer based on what he's already said will produce an encounter for what he is saying. And I believe that we're going to experience that today here in just a few minutes. I want to share just a couple of stories that kind of align with this. I remember years ago after praying this, I was in high school actually when I started praying this. And I remember one day I'd done something stupid. I don't even recall fully what it was. But I felt so guilty, felt so downtrodden and just in despair and full of shame. And I'll never forget, I was sitting on the ground, laying there, thinking about, you know, just being full of shame. And I'll never forget, after praying this prayer, here comes Jesus. And I'm not just talking about the presence. I saw him. He came in as I'm laying there on the ground, feeling that shame and iniquity, and I saw him come, and he stood in front of my door. He didn't say a word. And I said, no, you can't come right now. You can't come right now. You can't come. Even though I've already been praying this prayer, you can't come right now. I don't feel worthy enough to do it. And as I'm saying it, this presence comes. And I'll never forget, this presence starts coming. And as it starts at the top of my head, it was almost like the shaking began to come on my body. And I felt that as it came down, it would push the no. It would push the shame. It would push the guilt consciousness and the sin consciousness out and was replaced with the presence of peace. And it came all the way down to my feet. And soon as when I felt it, it left. He turned around and he walked out. Why did God do that? Because his love for me was greater than the sin that I had committed. But why else did he do it? Because I prayed this prayer. I had the word on it. I knew God was stirring this thing in my heart. And he came when I least expected it. Sometimes we're wanting God to just come when everything's good. When in reality, God wants to come when you're in the valley. When you've messed up, when you've done something that you shouldn't have done. God wants to touch you. I bless you in Jesus' name. God wants to come and meet you where you are so that you can encounter the height, the depth, the breadth, the length of his love in every aspect and capacity of your life. A few years ago, I've been a lot of places. Thank you, Jesus. I think I was in Canada. Yeah, I was in Canada. And I was preaching and talking about these things. And literally just preaching on this same thing. And as I did, the Lord began to tell me, he said, Joseph, I want to touch people today. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Do it, God. And probably it wasn't a, you know, super big church, but as I began to pray and worship, the Lord said, don't lay hands on anybody. No problem. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I want to touch them today. And the Lord began to, on purpose, just sit on people, touch them. And he said, open your eyes. So I did. I had my eyes open, and I saw this lady all the way in the back. And she began to cry, streams of tears coming down her face. And the Lord told me, he said, Joseph, do you know what's going on? She began to weep too, as well as hard sobbing. He said, do you know what's going on? No, I know you're touching her. He said, imagine going your entire life never having a hug from your father. He said, that woman is feeling me for the first time in her entire life. All because she heard. She heard, which produced faith, which caused her to be open to receive this encounter, the presence of the encounter of God wanting to touch her life. And the beautiful thing about that was she was changed. She was literally changed. I'm thinking about another woman. I was in, I think we were in the Netherlands, I think, yeah. And I was up there preaching, and then after everything was done, same thing. The presence of the Lord began to manifest in the room, and I saw this woman, and she never had a smile on her face. I'd been there a couple of days. Anybody ever know anybody that just never smiles at all? She just never had a smile on her face. And sometimes she would look up and she'd smirk, but that was it. She always had her head down, and I didn't know what was going on. And as we began to just worship and allow God to do what he wanted to do, I'll never forget, this woman was standing at the front, and she began to cry. And the Lord told me, he said, I want you to walk up behind her. And I don't even, but Sean, do you know if I touched her or not? I don't remember if I did. But anyway, I was standing there, and as I'm standing there, the Lord tells me, he says, tell her I was there with her. I don't know what that means. He said, tell her I was there with her. I said, I went up to her and I whispered in her, I said, God says he was there with you. She falls to the ground and she starts screaming and going back and forth and saying, no, 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 no. So I'm like, what in the world is this? So I get down on the floor and God takes me into what he was saying to me. And I won't go into all the details, but I saw something being done to her as a child. God cared about that? Absolutely. And what I saw was Jesus standing on the opposite end, crying and weeping over her for what was done. And I began to tell her, I said, you think he was not there. You think he actually wasn't there. But in reality, he was just across. He was interceding, praying. He was crying and weeping over what was done to you, what Satan used someone to do against you. And now God is wanting to come into that heart space, into that thing that you held so secure that you didn't want anyone to know about. And he's healing that. That woman, I will never forget it. She got up and she had the biggest smile on her face. And every time we've seen her since then, to God be the glory, she has always had a smile on her face. Why? Because of this. Preaching on and knowing, wait a minute, God wants this for us. But it's on God's terms of how he wants it. She didn't come in there saying, I want this, God, I want this. And I'm not saying that those things are bad. We can do that. We can ask God for things, especially that the word says that we can have. But ultimately, above that, we need to ask him, Lord, what do you desire to do in me? What manifestation do you want me to experience today? And I'll say this and then we'll pray. I said before that, you know, I grew up in a very strong Word of Faith church growing up. I was there for 24 years, I think. And I'm so thankful to God because it taught me to love this. Oh, taught me to love it. Taught me to love the Word of God. How many of you are thankful for the Word? How many of you are thankful for this church? I'm telling you, Jesus. I'm grateful to God. The dependency on the written word of God. I grew up in that 24 years. Could tell you what the word says, tell you how to believe for it, tell you how to receive healing, all of those things. But the one thing I didn't have was an encounter with the Spirit of God. And I'll never forget my pastor at that time. She had went home to be with the Lord. She was 80-something years old, strong woman of God. And the new pastors that were there had come in, and they were underneath of Pastor Jackie too as well. And but they were more conscious of not just the word, but what the Spirit of God was wanting to do. And I'll never forget, they said, we want to take you. I was a worship leader at that time. I don't really lead worship anymore, but at that time I was, and they said, we want you to come and we want you to go to this school in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. It's a worship school, and we want you to go there and receive, you know, what God's doing there. And so I'm like, okay, who are they? What do they do? So I looked them up online. I'm like, what in the world is this? It was Global Awakening and Dr. Randy Clark's school. And I said, I didn't grow up with this. I don't know about this. And I told a friend of mine, because we were growing up as a group, he's like, Joseph, what do you think about this? I said, oh, I just don't have a peace about it in my spirit. I just, how many of you know that was a false peace? Probably was just a spirit of fear. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, God, I don't know about this. I mean, we ain't grow up with this. I don't know where this is in the word. Can't find it, especially this ho and the shaking and the ho. It's like, wait a minute, hold up. What is that? What in the world? Some of y'all are laughing because you probably said the same thing. And I'm like, what is this, God? I don't know about this. So I go, because I was forced to. And I get there, and I mean, the worship was just blowing me away, and my heart softened up. And I'm like, oh, God, it was a three-day school. And Steve Swanson, who some of you may know, dear, dear friend, and another papa, I'll actually be with him next week. And actually, I'll be at Randy's next week. But anyway, I was just praying and just loving on Jesus and receiving all that God was pouring out. And the word of God that was coming forth, they matched everything that was going on with the word. So I'm leaving, you know, forever changed. I'm like, this is amazing. And I'll never forget at that last service, I am standing in the glory and just worshiping Jesus. And I mean, the worship was just beautiful. You ever been in moments where no one's singing and it's just the presence of the Lord just comes and descends upon you and it's just nice strings in the background. It's just beautiful. So I'm sitting there like, oh God, this is phenomenal. I can't imagine anything better than this. And I was being honest. I said, Lord, the only thing I can't get with is the shaking. In this moment, in the glory, presence all around me. I said, Lord, the only thing I just don't understand is the shaking. At that moment, to God be my witness, I felt this rope tie around my ankles and yank, the rope yanked. I'm sitting there like this, feel a rope come around my ankles and it yanked me and I fell to my knees and I literally do like this. I said, I didn't do that. It yanked me again, and I fell to my side. And I said, oh, I know I ain't do that. Wait a minute. What's going on? Hold up. I'm from Baltimore. We don't do well with surprises. I'll just say that. I won't go there. Thank you, Jesus. Almost said, sometimes, you know, with some surprises, you got to be careful because somebody might have something in their pocket. If you surprise them too much, you know. Anyway, that's probably too much above y'all pay grade. That's okay. Minneapolis is not Baltimore. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm sitting there. I'm like, wait a minute. I did not do this. This is freaking me out. What's going on? I ain't got scripture and verse for this, God. Show me the scripture where it says a rope's going to tie around my ankles. And I'm going to fall out under the power of God. So I'm sitting there. Freaking out, what's going on with me? And I'll never forget the best way I can describe it. This ball of light, literally was a ball of light, came and sat on my foot. And as it did, this peace sat on the top of my head and began to fill my whole body. It was the most beautiful presence, peace, calm, I'd ever felt. It literally felt like heaven was on me. And I literally said, I opened my eyes. I said, this is so cool. This is so cool. I'm telling you, it was the best high, whatever. It was beautiful. I've never been high before, so pop that bubble. But, oh man, what is going on with me? I feel like telling jokes and stuff. Help me, Jesus. Sometimes that comes on me, but I'm gonna be good today. I won't say that. Oh gosh. So I'm sitting there. I bless that in Jesus' name. I'm sitting there saying that it's so cool. And I managed to get up. And when I got up, I shook. I'm shaking like this. I shook for 3 days. I remember leaving, and I'm like, okay, what's going on with me? What's going on with me? I'm in the bed sleeping. What's going on with me? What's going on with me? And as I'm shaking, God's speaking to me his word. As I'm shaking, God's speaking to me his word. I'll never forget too, as well. I was listening to Brother Copeland, and he was talking to me about things that was being revealed through Brother Copeland while I'm shaking. What was God doing? He was redefining the way that I thought God was going to manifest himself in my life. While I'm listening to the word, here I am shaking for 3 days and three nights. And I'll never forget, after that lifted, I said, I want whatever that was. I never want to go back. Thank you, Jesus. And I haven't been back since. God just taking that from one degree of glory to the next. And all of that to say that began with a prayer of encounter, which produced the presence of encounter. And today I feel like God wants to do not just the same thing. However God wants to do it, he'll do it. But God wants to, in these last few moments that we have here today, God wants to touch you so that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, number one, that he's a father that actually loves you. And he's a dad that wants to hold you in his arms. You might say, oh, can he really do that? Absolutely. Have you ever been touched by God? I love what Heidi says. Once you're touched, you see him, you're just toast. You're done. There's nothing else you can do. And as I prayed today, I just felt like God wants us to end in that. And so I'm just going to ask the keyboard lady, thank you for your ministry, praise God, to come up. And we're going to activate Psalm 46:10. To be still and know. We're good at being still. Oh boy, but do we know? God wants you to know him. God just doesn't want you to pray the prayer of encounter. He wants you to experience the presence of encounter. So right now, I want you to close your eyes. Whoa. And at any time as this is going on, if you feel God on you, I want you to, you can come up to the front. You can lay down. This is just between you and God right now. Hallelujah. But there's tangible manifestations that God wants to release over you today. For some of you, he's breaking generational things. Things that have been associated with your family for a long time. I don't know who that's for. Maybe it's for someone who's watching online. But I see God coming in through this invitation, and he's breaking generational things. Generational habits, things that have been, I keep saying, like a struggling back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, things that you've been struggling with for a long time. God wants to touch that in this moment of encounter, to break that cycle, to break that cycle, to break that cycle. Some, it's a spirit of fear. You wake up afraid. You go to bed afraid. You're not sure of what next move to make. You don't know which way to turn or which way to go. It's like you're constantly battling a spirit of fear. God's saying he's touching that right now. He's touching. He wants to embrace that right now. Whoa. And for some of you, God's putting something in you. God's placing something in you right now. My feet were just burning. And Heidi often says that when your feet burn, that means you're being sent. You're called to be a sent one. And some of you, your feet are burning right now. If that's you, I want you to yield to God. Just you can come up to the front or stay where you are. We bless that in Jesus' name. Some of you, your hand are burning. Your right hand's burning. God's putting inside of you gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. I even just heard this. Even the power to raise the dead. Even the power to raise the dead. Whoa, God's giving out gifts right now. He's releasing tangible manifestations of himself. And you might be saying, Pastor Joseph, you haven't called out anything. Well, just reach up in the glory and receive whatever download, whatever God wants to transmit and put inside of you. And you'll leave this place forever changed. You'll leave this place forever changed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless what you're doing here, God. I bless what you're doing here, Jesus. I bless what you're doing here, Jesus. I bless what you're doing here, Jesus. Inside the hearts of each and every individual that's represented here, we bless what you're doing, God. We bless what you're doing, Father. We bless what you're doing. Yeah, someone struggling too as well with like a mental illness or something. I don't know if it's depression or whatever it is. Like me saying that, you know what it is. But like how do I say that, Lord? It's just, I see God working in the brain. He's reworking and maneuvering nerves. And some of you have been diagnosed, with something. Even someone that's watching online, if that's you, I just heard like schizophrenia. If that's you, we break that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for healing that person, touching that person who's watching right now in Jesus' name and filling them up with your peace, filling them up with your presence. Filling them up with your goodness. Filling them up with you. We desire you. We desire a touch, a hug, a kiss from our Father. Come and make yourself real to us today, Jesus.